I'm Ellen Mary.
And I'm Michael Perry.
And he's a plant geek.
And she's a plant addict.
And this is the Plant-Based Podcast.
This is more than just a gardening podcast. We'll be exploring the world of plants from every possible angle. We'll be talking about plant-based diets, plant materials and fabrics, the well-being qualities of plants, and giving plenty of gardening tips and tricks.
So we'll be chatting worldwide to companies and individuals that are being creative with plants in new and exciting ways, from fabulous flower crowns to foliage-filled lounges,
botanical moisturizers to bamboo clothing.
It's all here.
And it's all made of plants.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at VeggiePod. Their integrated raised vegetable garden bed kit makes growing vegetables easy for everyone. With self-watering features and protective canopy, with VeggiePod, you'll be harvesting your own produce in no time. Available in three sizes to suit any garden. Visit veggiepod.co.uk and enter PBP10 for a special discount as a PBP subscriber.
So today, Michael and I are at Howard Nurseries in near Diss, and we are with David Howard, who is somewhat of a legend.
I like that.
There we go.
It's so true.
And Christine as well, David's daughter, who's now running the business. And we're sitting opposite some beautiful Howard Nurseries banners that are full of daylilies and iris, which is your favourite flower.
Yeah, iris season is starting in 10 days, so I think I will be back and we'll get some lovely pictures.
Yeah, we've already caught glimpse of a few iris on the table. Christine's going to make a flower crown out of, aren't you?
Fingers crossed.
Might be a flower scarf if you get it wrong.
So we want to chat about the business and find out how it all started. I know your story, David, already, but I know that listeners would love to hear about it. And then later on, we'll talk about bare root plants, because obviously that's what the business is all about, and get some tips for listeners at home to how to grow them as well, and what's the benefits of them. But just to get going, David, tell us about your love of plants and gardening. You know, how it all began.
I've always liked plants from a primary school age. I used to sell plants when I was at primary school, and if I didn't get 50p a week, I was most offended.
Wow. That's the same as me. I was selling at school.
But I've always liked plants, and the teachers all encouraged me, and I went from there, really.
That's really amazing that they did encourage you, actually. Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, I remember being ashamed of loving plants when I was a kid.
I had to be. Yes, I was.
I was keeping it a secret.
Yes, I was. Just to say, you wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
It did get better over time, but once they realised you've got something there, they sort of followed you.
The teachers, you mean?
Teachers, yes. And I suppose they want to get good pupils, sort of thing, so they encourage you. But no, you are right, they don't encourage people to garden whatsoever, and that's one of the best therapies you can have.
Definitely.
Yes, you can't beat it, but I was just talking about iris, as you was on about. I always remember going to Ipswich on a coach. We used to go on a Tuesday and during the holidays. And I remember my mother and myself bought iris germanic, rhizomes. Yeah. And that was the first plant I ever bought. And I think I was about 10 then.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
and that's amazing. There, really.
What did your friends think?
Well, like you say, you didn't talk about it, really.
Yeah.
It's probably nuts.
I think you're the same as me. I loved plants, but I also loved making money out of plants.
I did, yes. Yeah, I think that's a good combination.
Yeah.
Because there's not many people who can make money and like it.
Yeah.
You either like one thing or the other, but I've got a good coverage, really.
Cause... Do you know what they call that? They call that a hortpreneur.
Not
an entrepreneur.
So you are a hortpreneur. So what happened with your love of plants then, after you were selling them at a young age?
At a young age, yes. What happened then? I went for a nursery in Diss, which was called Pipers, specialised in dahlias. Mm-hmm. And it was good, really, because the quality there was damn good, they were. And everything they sold was spot on, dahlias particular. And that was a good learning curve, really. And I used to do the market stall on a Friday at lunchtime, and I nearly sell us all out. And I get told, have you cut the price? No, I haven't cut the prices.
Just good at selling.
Enthusiasm,
yes,
and
yes, that's
plant
right.
Knowledge.
Yes, you know? It is. And you're just enthusiastic to sell the stuff and you enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I think you enjoy it, really. In a funny sort of way, yes, you have got to think about money, but I never really worry me that much.
Mm.
Even to this day, I don't really worry, but as long as I've got enough money in my pocket to pay the bills, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But actually, where did you get the passion for plants? Because for me, it came from my grandparents, so I was spending a lot of time with them,
yes.
And it rubbed off from them. What?
Oh, yes, I think mother and father encouraged me. Because father had allotment. And that's how I started with the allotment, and I used to grow flowers. I was seeing them cut flowers at the Covent Garden, I think we were 16, 17.
Yeah.
And that was a good learning curve. And my mother was very encouraging, also my father was.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and I think that's key. Like, we often talk about getting the younger generation into gardening, but actually it does start at a really young age. If you have it involved in your life at a young age, you do tend to carry on with it, or at least go back to it at some point.
It's interesting, really. When we get young boys or girls come here, you can soon pick up if they're interested. We've got two, I think, and they're really keen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can see they're going places. And
that's exciting.
And I always try to encourage them, really, if I can, because I know what situation I was in.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've always said that mine came from my uncle, and my parents also, but my uncle especially, he had this really long garden at the back of his council house, and the back end of the garden, where he used to grow all of his own vegetables, and I used to go down there and help out a little bit, and that's how I caught the bug.
I used to grow vegetables, but I don't know why I switched to flowers. I suppose I found them more interesting.
They're pretty.
Yeah.
Well, I never used to like eating my own veg. No? I never thought it tasted that good.
Growing.
I know, but I don't know, in those days, you know, you're a kid, you don't have the know-how, growing carrots, but they're just really gnarly, horrible old things.
Yeah. I sometimes think, I wish I had all the knowledge then that I got now. How do you put that together?
You gather all that knowledge.
You just mentioned about noticing like that horticultural spark in younger people that join the company.
Yes.
And obviously, we're going through a bit of a magic time for horticulture right now. Have you noticed that there are more people interested in plants now than before?
Yes. Yeah. And here again, I said earlier on, I think that's a therapy for us, relaxing when they do that.
What, almost as an antidote to the fast pace of life
now? Yes, I think it is. Yes, you have to be a little bit careful when a person comes for a job. They sometimes say, I love gardening, but not commercially, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, they think it's this relaxing thing. Yes, they're going to just sit around on the nursery all day. But you actually want them to work hard as well, don't you? Yeah. That's the difference.
That's the trouble.
So how did the nursery come about then? How did that start?
Oh, dear, that goes about a long way. Well, so I had allotment, and I was selling flowers when I was early age. I'd done my national service, come out, And I couldn't get a job. I couldn't get a job. The person what I was working for went bust. Because I left, I expect. But anyway,
I like a bit of confidence.
What happened? I got a job in a private garden, in a farm, and they was ever so good to me. They let me have free hand, and I could do what I like virtually. Here again, I wish I'd have done more now, looking back.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have done, but I didn't realise how lucky I was. Mm-hmm. So I was there about 3 or 4 years. And then Alan Bloom wrote to me, would I like to join at Bresingham? And I took it up on them.
Wow.
And I really enjoyed that and learned a lot.
It's amazing there, isn't it?
Yes, and that was a good learning curve.
Yeah, what an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I knew the manager, Morris Pritchard. He was a fanatic on herbaceous. They had a nursery apparently in Christchurch down in Bournemouth. But anyway, he was ever so good. He was. See, I think if you're interested, people have... help you, I think.
Yeah.
That's what half the story. So I was a bloomer, it's about 5 or 6 years, but I also got this allotment, and I was selling plants to Bloom when I worked there.
Is that legal?
I don't know. So we were selling, Delphiniums was one of the bigger things, lupins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And you find if you look at any nurse who wants to achieve anything, they always specialise in the early days in something. Mm-hmm. And we was Gram Vinkers and Hyperagon by the thousand.
Really? Vinker?
Hartley Vinker, Major, mm-hmm. Major Riga. I think one year we got 50,000 Major one year and cleared the lot out.
Wow.
And Hyperagon.
My grandma used to have a lovely variegated one. I'm not sure what the variety is called, but it was so invasive, though.
It was.
Yeah.
But that was a time when the council were planting masses. That was a good thing. Perhaps might get changed again. Never say
I prefer minor though. It's got a much more delicate flower and a bit more better behaved.
That's nice minor ones, really. The Alba and Acra Papyra, very nice. But they was going in masses, and that's what built us up.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we had the lot, and then we bought 8 acres, and then we kept adding to it, and we were very, very lucky. That's all joining. If you look at most nurses, they have one piece there, one piece there, all over the place. Mm-hmm. But this is all joining. You can join up, which is very good. So that's been very helpful. How did it go from there? Was adding bits of land, 3-4 acres.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last big bit was 24 acres, and that was nearly, I go back quite a bit, now 20 years. We had to pay £4,000 an acre, which was a high price at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought we was mad. People around here. But we made a pay, uh-huh.
And still going strong,
I said, I don't know if I'm come up with my short time radio or anything, but I don't know if we might buy something else.
Yeah?
That's
but exclusive.
That is an exclusive. You heard it here first.
But no, we've got a good choice of land, really. Some light land, some heavy. You don't want too much heavy land. You want more land what's more friable and light. And
more like Dutch soil? Because Dutch can grow a lot in their more sandy soil.
Yes, and we're not as good as that, but we are pretty clear that we get a lot of flints, which can cause problems.
Okay. But have you improved the soil over the years? Years though, yourself?
Oh, yes, or? We put manure in, we put compost in, we find the peat, we have a surplus from the compost pots, mm-hmm. very useful. Oh, yes, we would put compost in, all sorts of things, really.
So, what the compost left over in the pots you're tipping into the soil in order to improve the soil?
If I don't make the grade, I get it, and then we'd use it like that.
Nice bit of recycling there,
isn't it? Oh, yes, we use it. Christine's very keen for recycling. She recycled me, I think.
Never. We could never do that. So over the years, obviously, Howard Nurseries has developed into a really well-known supplier of berry plants, haven't you?
Yes, I suppose we have, but that's only through doing the quality. Really, quality's always been number one.
Right.
And I've always had people bring very lucky, but I've been keen. And like plants, we say the staff here now, they're all keen. Well, I won't say all of them, but most of them are keen.
Yeah.
So that's why I've gone, really. And I go in the shed now when the garden centre orders have gone out, and I just look at them, that's not good enough, chuck it out.
Do they all go, oh, David's coming quick?
They do say it, I can see it. Oh, look, here come trouble.
But that's what you're known for, the quality. And you sell all over UK. Do you sell anything overseas or any?
We have done, but we don't go down that route much because the UK markets are good.
And I guess more and more so with certain changes that happening.
Yeah, that's in our favour, really, isn't it? So, we have sent to Holland, we sent to France, throughout Europe. But to send America and them countries and Washington.
Yeah, there's a lot more work, isn't there?
And you always have to do it when you're really busy on the nursery, so we haven't pushed that one. But I think we could. Mm-hmm. Quite easy, really. Mm-hmm. We often get people turn up from abroad and met Chinese, all sorts of.
Okay. Amazing. So it is a family business, isn't it? So Christine's now here.
Christine's coming
at the helm, aren't you, Christine?
How are you feeling?
I don't think I would have come back if I'd known what our responsibility was.
Your history, Christine, has been always in horticulture as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think I started over here when I was 12. You've done an SOS to me.
That early.
Wow. Absolutely.
But can I ask, willingly, or were you kind of like, oh, plants? Or were you like, plants? How did you feel? You can be honest, don't listen, David.
What you've got to remember is my back garden was the nursery. So there's pictures of me being wheeled around in a wheelbarrow.
So it was very natural for you to be around plants.
When Mum used to go out, we used to come back over in the evenings and I'd sit in the corner, you'd be splitting plants with me. So that was my babysitting.
On a bed of bare root.
So, I just came over, you'd done an SOS, need some help potting, someone wasn't in, and
that's right.
And here you are.
Yeah.
You went away, didn't you, when you came back again?
Yeah, I went away nearly 10 years, I think it was, doing various different things, working a wall garden.
So still in horticulture.
I did 3 years of business, which was fantastic, introduction. Then I did, I did a degree at Whittle. I did a year in industry at Knockhuts. Worked at Blooms in the plant centre, and nearly 3 years in a wall garden. So I've got a really good cross section of our customer base
that you can then bring into the business. Yeah. And I think we should also mention your wife David and your mum Christine, because she's been part of this business all these years. I mean, how has she dealt with you being out here on the nursery all day every day?
Okay, good point. Now my wife's always done the in the early day done the counts on a Sunday,
right?
Mm-hmm. And she kept us in order, really, I suppose. And she'd do check the bills and the count and work and all that. And no, she was checking that all the while. So we're in order, all right.
She kept you in check.
She kept me in check, yeah. Wow. And if I was 6 months out, she'd get on to me.
That's great.
So we're going to talk more about bare root plants.
Yes.
The kind of plants that you grow here, and get some tips as well for listeners in the second part of this podcast. Mm. But just before we move on, I think we must give a special mention to the dahlia David Howard, don't you? Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
David Howard dahlia, that was raised when I was about in my teens. I used to grow about 1,000 seedlings.
Wow. So you hybridised yourself?
Yes, I used to collect seed. I was Bishop of Llandaff at Cumbria. Yeah. And so I was got all these 1,000 dahlias, and my mother and father were looking after me. Here again, mother and father helped me, looking after me when I went down my national service. So anyway, I come home on leave one weekend or something. I said, watch that, one's going to be good. And yes, we keep an eye on it. What did they do? They give it away, didn't they?
No.
And, never you trust your plants with anybody else.
Did you get a search
else?
For it or what? How did you get it back?
Well, no, I didn't. Well, I got it back from the firm what took it. But see, the name David Hard was out then, wasn't it? They just labelled it David Hard. No, I would have never called it that. I'd have called it something completely different.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't like it. A bit like yourself. I didn't like the name. Oh, I don't like it. I'd hide around the corner.
Yeah, if something was called my own name, I wouldn't be.
No, you wouldn't want a plant.
Ellen would feel different, but, she's a bit cocky.
If a plant was named after me, I'd be like, look at this.
I was hiding up and didn't want to know. I'd go to them and I remember going to some show somewhere. Oh, I think you're marvellous, your Dale. Oh, shut up.
Really? And so it was out of your control. It was already out there being produced.
There were no rioters, nothing like that then. That was out and that had gone. And so it went from there, really. But in the last few years, I've accepted it.
Tell us what it looks like so listeners can
It's orangey colour. It's a decorative, isn't it? And ideal for cutting. It's a bit lighter than some, but that's as a flower arranger's thing, really, when you think about it.
That's quite nice that it's later, actually, because then you can use other varieties, in the lead-up.
That's with the bronze foliage as well, isn't it?
Bronze foliage,
orange flower.
That was the first thing what hit it, really, was the bronze foliage. I think we used the first double with bronze foliage, actually. So, bit of luck, mind you, but...
Do you love dahlias?
I worked for this nursery, what grew dahlias, see, and I was getting the knack of... I'd learned all the while. We used to show at London. I think you must go to the shows in London at that period, and you must get London involved somewhere. And I'd go up to the shows and learn from them. And David Hard, I think, wore the merit when I was in my teens, I think, then even.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Dahlias are really quite big at the moment. I've literally loved dahlias forever.
And then they faded out one stage.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they've come back.
They have, haven't they?
Because the colour range is tremendous, really.
The variety. Yeah. There's Café just Olé. So many. Creme de Cassis, that's a really lovely one.
And they're quite easy to raise, really, isn't it? Too serious, really, when you think about it.
I think so.
I think I guess I got the knack of seeing which is going to be a good seller.
And they're so Instagrammable as well. Myrtle's Folly, that's a good one.
I'm growing a new one this year, and I've only bought it because of the name. I mean, it does look lovely, but it's called Boogie Woogie.
Really? Yeah. I don't know that one.
That's a good one. I've heard that one, yeah.
But what about, have you, I really want to gossip about dahlias for a bit. Yeah. Have you ever come across a scented one? Because there's often stories that, what is it, Twinings?
Oh, yeah, Twinings.
Yeah, bred by Kit Strange, I think, at Wisley. They say that's fragrant, but I've never detected any fragrance in that or any of the others.
When it was growing years ago, that'd be 40, 50 years ago, and they'd be one or two set of scents in dahlias, but I've never...
To be honest,
they often say honker is fragrant as well, but again, I tested that.
I think they do honk, actually, dahlias. They smell really bad when you've had them in the vase and they're slightly going over. They've got a really weird smell.
Depending on what condition they're in, if it's a dry condition, you get a smell of something. But you couldn't... I couldn't guarantee that would be...
I think the most fragrance is almost from the nectar there. It's not necessarily a fragrant plant. But I'm always fascinated with the different species that are in a plant. Like delphiniums, for example. Yeah. There's a fragrant species in delphinium family, but it hasn't been bred into every day. I can't remember what it is, but... Yeah, I'll let you know, but they haven't managed to cross that
yet. Yes, you can get a slight smell, Dave, but I wouldn't like to sell them under that guarantee.
No. Do you have a favourite dahlia?
No, I don't know if I have, really. I suppose David Harden.
Yay!
Got
to be, That is what we were going for. You've got there in the end. After all these years, it's your favourite.
But that had been good publicity for me. You know, I've been on television quite a lot, and magazines. And
Monty Don likes it.
He might not like it. It must be good, then.
If Monty Don says it is so,
But is there any strains of dahlia that are bred out there now, new ones that you admire, for example? Because there's some new patio ones, different types.
I'll be truthful with you. I just switched to perennials. I wouldn't say I'd gone off dahlias, but I haven't took the same interest. When you do breeding, you've got to live and think. That's all you've got to think about, really.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't like to comment on that, really, to be fair with you. Yeah. But no, we're perennial madnesses and... keep the quality up, and that's all we do, really, isn't it, Christine?
Amazing. Great. So in the second part, then, that's what we'll talk about. We'll talk about perennials and bare root. More plant gossip. Thanks.
Okay, right on,
Thank you.
This episode of the Plant-Based Podcast is brought to you by our friends at VeggiePod. Their integrated raised vegetable garden bed kit makes growing vegetables easy for everyone.
So we're back here with David Howard and his daughter, Christine. And we're going to talk more about Howard's Nursery and also a lot of the specialist plants that they offer. But we're also going to tell you the story behind bare root plants, why bare root is the sensible way to buy plants, how it can save you money, but also give you better success in the garden. And we're also going to gossip a bit more about plants, because I want to pick David's brain a bit more on some of those plant families and find out what he thinks of some of the newer varieties, a few of his recommendations as well. But we're going to kick off this section with a bit of how-to, a bit of advice. So first of all, explain to the listener, David and Christine, what bare roots really are and how they can be used in the garden. Because a lot of people would look at them and think, oh, that's just a wet spider. But that's not the case, is it? What's a bare root plant?
What is a bare root plant? Well, it's lifted out in the open and then transplanted out, I suppose.
But that is alien to a lot of people, isn't it?
It is, really.
They usually see plants in pots in the garden centre.
Yeah, the reason I like your pots is because don't get hands dirty, do they?
Yeah, true.
And also, I guess when you buy a plant in a pot, you may be seeing it flower already, aren't you? Because visually you can see what that's going to look like. With bare root, you don't
so
see that.
But misleading sometimes.
Very much.
But you still can't beat planting them plants in your autumn with bare roots and good solid plant. You get better with blowing from the plant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Better quality.
They establish nicely, don't
and
they?
You can go around the gardens when you go in new borders sometimes, you can see where they've been bare root or pots. Mm-hmm. Because the quality
see the difference?
There.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And that's because you're planting at a time when the plant is dormant.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to lift it.
That's
as
correct,
well.
yes. But bare root, we still sell a lot. Well, I think we sell a lot of bare root to be potted on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant too.
But garden designers, they do buy the bare roots, don't they? More and more.
Yes, we had a talk here yesterday, and he was full of bare root, wasn't he?
Bare roots are cheaper as well, aren't they?
Oh, yes, you get better quality because you get a clump, you can split it into threes, fours, what you want.
But I guess the client doesn't get that instant effect, so how do they.
But you've
get
got
past
healthy
that.
Plants to start with. With irises and agapanthus for us, they're a 2-year plant, and I don't know, with a bare root plant, you're getting to actually know the plant, I always feel. Mm. You're getting to know the root structure. Mm-hmm. You're getting to understand it a bit more.
Okay. That's
then,
nice.
And then, garden designers have a good solid plant to plant into the ground.
And also when you plant in a pot, you might be planting that in the summer and you're going to have to water that in, establish it more. Bare root plant, you just drop in really in the autumn and forget about it.
And also there must be more risk of pests and diseases if you're buying in a container as well, rather than bare root. Because, I mean, there's been quite a few reports of vine weevil, coming in from centres in containers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that can be a pain, that vine weevil, can't it? Mm. We put chemical in the compost, so we don't find it.
So what have you got growing here at the moment then? What's going on at the nursery at the moment?
Well, at the moment we're very busy on garden centre, on containers actually. Mm-hmm. And ours is going out in containers and
looking. Irish time of year while we're here, isn't it?
Looking very good actually.
But what's quite nice, you can see the bare root plants that are potted into the containers, can't you? Like, yes. The persicarias, the irises, and you can see there's a good strong plant in the containers which are going out.
Okay.
So when you're growing bare root, so we've got all these lovely banners with the pictures of lovely daylilies. You have to cut those back, don't you? You have to cut the flower off in order to have your bare root plant.
Mm. Yeah, it's so sad, and we're getting more better at it. We're cutting them back sooner now, but we don't need the flowers, we need the roots. Yeah. And you can see when you dig the plants up, the plants are just amazing how they bulk up. Uh-huh. Every year it's incredible. When you take like a phlox root cutting in December, and then you know that's going to be selling in October, how they grow.
I'm sorry, but what do you do with the flowers?
You just cut them off.
And go in the bin?
Yeah.
Compost.
But come on, in this Instagram age, there's bound to be someone out there that has got a use for those flowers.
I'm sure.
It's got to be someone local.
As long as they come and collect them and do all the job for you. But
It's got to be someone local, and it's hard work too. But
it must be so sad to see all these flowers in the skip, but to know that's a good thing. Mm.
I couldn't agree more. But
that's hard to marry that up in your head, isn't
it? When I was here last time, there was someone here taking photographs, wasn't there? I remember her
going of the skip.
Of the flowers before they were cut, because they're visually so amazing. You know, obviously you've got acres and acres, and there's all these gorgeous, colourful flowers.
Oh, could you not have like a pick your own weekend? People could come and pick their own bunch of flowers.
Yeah, I think we did say that, didn't we? All florists could come and pick their
flowers.
Oh, they
would love that on Instagram. Do it.
All about Instagram.
We need a field for car parking, but apart from that,
Well, they can come on the bus.
Organised buses, But ultimately, at the end of the day, the client, you know, the customer is receiving a really good, strong bare root plant, and that's the goal of your business, isn't it?
And plastic-free.
And plastic-free, very important, absolutely.
But you don't sell directly to the public here, do you?
No.
So you're selling to people that then sell the bare root on through mail order, or you sell to garden centres that perhaps pot it up or sell it as a bare root. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, tourist attractions also have our plants to sell, plants and gardens. Yeah, it's amazing where they go all over the country. Anyone who wants wholesale plants sort of comes this way.
So give us some tips on planting bare roots. If I was to now order some bare root plants, what would I do with them once I've received them? Because they can look kind of scary, you know. You get them, you're like,
wet spider.
What do I do with this wet spider?
I think that's the thing. Don't be scared of it. And so many people are scared of it. They're a lot tougher than you think they are. Irises can last, say, up to 3 weeks without having to plant them. So
Well, they're often in cold stores before they're sent out sometimes from some nurseries.
So it's not to be scared of them. And just to make sure you've got good prepared soil. And if you see how we plant them in the field with the planting machine.
You just whazz them in, don't you?
Yeah, you just tap them in, unfortunately. Obviously the right way up, but
Does the customer know the right way up? Because to us, it's really intuitive, but sometimes if somebody hasn't grown a plant before, they'll look at it and they're like, what is the root? What is the shoot? Because some plants can look the same whatever way up you look at them sometimes, can't they?
What's the answer? That's quite actually.
Yeah.
The thing is, that's quite easy to actually do so.
I know.
I suppose with us, though, the way we trim them too, perhaps the roots, we would trim them sort of two fist lengths, whereas the top might be a bit more shorter.
Okay. And I guess the roots do face, like they do go down. So you would perhaps instinctively know that down
it's
means
it's just strange.
That
it's not that obvious because the friend I'm staying with at the moment, he had some bare root of stilby that came in the post.
Yeah. And stilby's going to be funny.
They can look strange because the top is kind of a bit brown and withered, but also the roots look brown and withered. So he really didn't know what way up.
Right.
No. And it's kind of hard to describe without almost a diagram or being there.
Yeah.
So
okay, so don't be scared of bare roots. Chuck them in. Make sure your soil's prepared first.
Well, I think the best time is plant them in autumn time, get them established before the winter began.
And then once they're in, you don't need to water them or anything over winter.
Well, if you're putting them in autumn time, you shouldn't have to water, would you, Christine? But of course, if you plant them in the spring, yes.
Yeah.
Perhaps a bit of water. Yes.
And will they flower the next year?
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yes. Should do.
So you can basically...
If they're from Howards, of course.
Obviously, of course. So if you were to plant your bare root, which is cheaper than buying container grown in autumn time, let it establish over winter, perhaps start watering it from spring or when there's dry weather, as you would, you know, any other perennial, I suppose.
Yes.
But having made sure that your soil's all prepared first, you should then get flowers spring, summer, that year onwards.
Put some compost into it or manure, some description.
Mm-hmm.
And do a really good job. Make sure there's no perennial weed in it.
Yeah.
Like grass or bindweed and all that.
Don't mention bindweed on this podcast. It is my nemesis.
Naughty corner now.
David, we're no longer friends.
But I want to gossip more about plants. Can we do that?
Yes,
we are.
What about... No, but actual varieties, Ellen, not the techie side of it. Come on.
Well, yes, okay. We grow a lot of grasses and miscanthus, and they're very, very popular. Mm-hmm. So that's been very good.
But grasses used to be popular in the 80s, then it went down like dahlias, and now they are back.
Yes, I think that's the way the designers have put them in. Either do a mass one bed of grass, or Scampson in Yorkshire is just grass.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also set a grass in a border somewhere, which do look quite attractive during winter.
They give lovely structure, don't they? Lovely structure, and you can get so many different varieties.
One I do like is a sleeper gigantica, wild oak fluff.
Yeah.
And everyone like that. We sell quite a few of that, don't we?
I like the stripy ones, like zebrinus.
Or little zebra, which is the dwarf one. It's really nice.
I was struck lucky because we went and me and another lad went over to Germany, a chap called Pavel, and he specialised in miscanthus. And he's doing research in these grand for power stations and that. Anyway, we went to his place, and by Joe, he was jolly good.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting on in his age, but what he didn't know about miscanthus is unbelievable. And he was very, very helpful, really. He couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak German, but I had a lovely time.
You taught the language of plants.
Latin.
I've had that in many countries. Yeah. It's amazing.
But you can still get by because you love plants and you can speak Latin.
I remember a student from his come over, he said, David and Mr. Hodge, you really enjoyed that visit, didn't you? I said, yes, I did. And he said, we laughed about languages.
And therein lies the benefit of keeping Latin names.
Yes, it is, actually.
I wonder if we could pose these guys a question and ask them what their must-have plants are for the garden. Perhaps your must-have five perennial plants.
Oh, that's a good one.
For a garden, for a kind of beginner garden as well. You know, a plant that doesn't give you much trouble but gives you a real colour for your money.
Yes.
What do you reckon? One.
It's got to be iris.
Yeah, but which one?
Ooh, yeah. Well, what variety wise? Oh dear.
All of them.
Well, like five plants right now.
Species. I'd say definitely iris, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'd give hardy geraniums because they're lovely things, you know.
Okay.
Grow anywhere, don't they?
Any particular one?
Well, Roseanne is obviously good, but
which one was that, sorry?
Roseanne.
One of the centenary.
But there's some good ones out there, and that's a good one. Iris, geraniums, as which you could say, hemichalus.
Yeah.
But you caught me out now.
I like hemichalus, actually. I like the bright oranges, the bright yellows. Yes. I know they don't bloom long, but if you keep deadheading them,
and
you get more and more
salvias
give blooms.
A good display, really, don't they?
Yeah.
I mentioned grasses, haven't I?
Yeah. But, salvias, which in particular? Caradonna's nice. Bees love that.
That is a lovely one. Something about that one, isn't it?
That was really popular in the flower shows a couple of years ago. Yes, it was everywhere, wasn't it?
Still is popular, actually, yes.
Cool. I think we got it there then.
Another plant, what you don't see much of, but we grow, is Anchusa and Loddon Royalist. That's a lovely blue.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk around the nursery and see it today...
And blue flowers are really just beautiful.
We've been doing a number of years, and we always try and get into Chelsea because they always look nice.
Yeah.
We've got some going up on Monday.
Oh, you've got some there this year?
Yeah, you can see it today. You know. Uh-huh.
Wonderful.
But I would like to get a group in someone's garden, and that was always a winner. And you can guarantee that will be picked up on television.
There you go.
Oh, that's a pretty good list. We are going to have an article up on the website at the same time with some of your recommendations. So we've got anchusas, we've got hardy geraniums, iris, hemerocallis, and grasses as well.
Yes, that's not a bad selection.
Excellent.
I think that would make a really lovely border.
Ready-made garden design.
There you go.
But we seem to have a knack, and a bit like the iris tree, we had got a knack growing these miscanthus.
Mm-hmm.
We split them up in February and pot them up. You can see them today. They don't look nothing great at the moment, but give them another month, they'll be up, won't they?
Are they invasive like bamboo, though?
No.
Because they look like such a monster.
Yeah, no, they're not really.
Yeah.
No, you can control them in general, yes.
But you need to cut them back or they don't spread that far? How do you...
Just cut them back.
Okay.
But we never had trouble with invasion. Mm. I know we got some other one outside here, but we set fire to it the other week.
Intentionally.
Yes, you did, actually.
It's a windbreak, wasn't it?
I remember 30 years ago, isn't it? We had paraweb and all up, and that all got blown down. So what are we going to put in? So we put this grass in. That'd been wonderful.
Yeah. And the way to get rid of it is to burn it out, then?
Well, you could do, but don't have to do nothing like plastic tunnels nearby or irrigation.
Because you often hear that with pampas, don't you? The way to get rid of it is to burn it out. Yeah.
There's no other way to get rid of it.
So, border the plant in the garden,
breaking,
just burn it.
Back-breaking, digging it up, yeah.
Just don't have no hedges nearby. Yeah. So. I don't think we also recommend it too much.
Uh-huh.
So, just to finish off then, whilst this is going to be a cheesy question, but I have to ask it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favourite plant, Christine, of all time? I know it's cruel.
It's the most horrible question to ask any horticulturist, Ellen, do you realise? It's why I ask it.
I'll tell you why. Because most people say, oh, I can't decide, I don't know, you can't ask me that, but then they always come up with one.
Mm. Yeah, but it changes every day.
That's, well, okay, today...
She'll come up with the one she wants to sell.
Yeah, today, what's your favourite
plant? The one she's got most stock of.
I see. Go on.
I'm torn, either anchusa or iris. Every year it changes, I think.
I think it might depend on the weather, how it performs.
Really
what's the
hard.
One you would love to have on your kitchen table? If you have a vase of flowers, what's the one that you would love to have?
Yeah, interesting that is. I tell you what I don't dislike, pyrethrums, name varieties.
Okay.
Yes,
my grandma used to grow those.
Yeah. I've got one called Brendan, that's lovely. Yeah. A lot of pies, it's a pity really, you're grown from seed, you don't get the same effect. Mm. But we have got quite a few name ones here, and you get Brendan on the table, you can't resist it.
Yeah.
Yes, Brendan and...
There you go.
Yeah.
See?
That's really cool.
That's an old,
cool
one.
There's all these memories of plants that my grandma used to grow in her borders.
She would have grown there. She would have grown there.
Yeah, absolutely. She had a really rich red one.
Yeah. That would...
As well.
Yeah, it's reddish, as would you say. I don't think I got any flower at the moment, but nevertheless, it is a good one, no doubt about it. Good cut flower too, very good.
Cut flowers are big
so
at the moment
brilliant.
As well.
I love these memories, really. Because my grandma had this big bed of bearded iris, and I've got such memories of them coming into flower, being able to recognise what colours they were by the rhizome as well.
That period of time, iris Japan were really popular. Then they went out, and now they're putting back in again.
It's amazing how things come around.
If we've got another few minutes, I want to talk about some of the other ones my grandma used to grow, because you'll know them as well. Physostigia, the obedient plant.
Where you can turn that flower around.
So she had those in the border. Alstroemeria, but only kind of this orange coloured one.
Yes, that's
one,
right.
The really
orange.
Classic one.
Dab orange, I guess.
Achillea, the pearl.
I love Achillea. Yeah. Bees and butterflies love Achillea.
Types of Achilles. That's a good plant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And they used to cut them for bunches and also like show at local flower shows with these items as well.
Nice bright yellow ones.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Such great. And she had obviously the double flowered Quonso hemerocallis.
Oh, yes.
Big double orange flowered one.
Always seen on big estates. Must have come through, you know, I think about Thornton here. They always had grown in the parks.
And all of these are brilliant for wildlife as well.
And also, brilliant for wildlife, she had Lithrum. Lovely big pink one that likes a damp soil. That, the bees and butterflies love that one. Amazing plant.
Yes, there's a lot of plants out there. We'd go on forever, couldn't we?
We could go on forever, but we can't, sadly.
Why can't we? Why can't we have, like, plant chat uncut? Where you just chat, you know, we're just, like, gossiping for plants for the rest
carry
of the day.
On, we'll carry on chatting and then put the uncut version out there as well, it has been an absolute pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you very much to both of you, David and Christine,
Thank
for spending
you.
Time with us. Obviously, it's just always so fantastic to sit and talk with true plant lovers, isn't it?
Definitely.
And it's just the passion comes through, and
And also to find out the secret behind growing the best plants, which is bare root plants too. And we'll be putting up some pictures of bare root plants to kind of show you what they are. And they do look scary at first, but the results you get are really so much better than pot grown.
Most of my allotment, by the way, is growing with bare root plants. I mean, I had to establish a whole new allotment, so that was really the way forward.
Yeah, the best
way. And I took it over in October, so it was mainly bare root over.
Right time of year.
So, bare root plants, way forward.
So are you going to walk around now?
We'll have a little walk around now.
We definitely
want
to look around.
We can't wait to have a little walk around.
That's what I'm thinking.
We've got time. Thank
Always
you.
Always time for plants. Thank you. I haven't got one. Why are you expecting me? You're looking at me as if I've got this pun to start with.
Because
but I haven't got one today, right?
I'm disappointed. Then.
Well, maybe I'm not as funny as you imagine.
Or at all. Maybe I don't even imagine that you are.
Oh, pun-alicious. Oh, I do love a punnet of strawberries.
Oh, my
There you go.
Gosh.
We're in.
There you go.
Okay. Ding dong.
Pun done.
What are you talking about today, Melon?
Memories. Talking to lovely David, who is an absolute horticultural legend, isn't he? And it was really good listening to how he was, you know, how he got into loving plants from childhood and how then everything developed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we should talk about our memories.
Yeah, well, especially because so many plants that they still grow and a lot of their range is still traditional and a lot of those plants evoke memories of gardening with my nana.
I know when we were there, you could say, oh, that reminds me of that reminds me of that. And that's really nice. It's amazing that plants can do that.
Yes. What plants do you remember? Oh, I know what your one is.
You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Well, there's actually two, but the main one is marigolds.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've said it many times.
What colour marigolds?
Oh, they were orange.
Yeah. Real
traditional orange marigolds. And I know I've said it before, but it was just, as a young child, I never really understood why there were so many marigolds all around my uncle's garden. And it was because he was growing his own vegetables organically, and he used those as companion plants. I don't suppose he ate the marigolds like I would now, or he'd have them on the allotment all the time for that reason as well. But it just really reminds me of standing in my auntie and uncle's council house in their lounge, and the window looked out the garden and with the net curtains.
Oh.
And I can remember that moment of standing there and looking out and thinking, why are there so many of these orange flowers? Like, what about all the other flowers you could get? But I can remember and
mono.
mono. But it kind of looked quite cool.
Yeah.
And now I can even remember like the smell of the room in a good way. But you know, everything comes back.
Yeah, definitely.
And I can remember the shed. All from just standing at that window and where he stored all of his tools, which actually I inherited some of his gardening tools.
It'd be so great to go back to those memories, to go back to those
times like
sometimes.
Revisit it and
It's funny you say marigolds because I think the first packet of seed that I ever grew was marigold tiger eye.
Okay.
And I think, well, maybe it wasn't the first, but I remember we were given it at Badgers. Do you know what Badgers is?
No. What's
Badgers
that?
Is the kid version of St John's Ambulance.
Oh, cadets. Yeah, the Badgers. Yeah. You went to Badgers? Yeah. Oh, how cute.
We used to wear berets. They were really, and these really scratchy jumpers as well. Oh, my God. Just horrible memories. And I was really lank. Lank, is that a word?
I'm sure you learnt lots of
lank though. And skinny as well. Anyway, and they gave away these packets of seed. And I remember it was Thompson Morgan seed, this little packet of marigold tiger eye. And I just remember that packet and growing those seeds. So that marigolds have a memory for me. But yeah. I used to love... my grandma, every so often, would grow tagetes, like the kind of the traditional one, the one that looks all fern-like.
Yeah, and the smell of those is amazing.
And they were always, yeah, definitely, and they were always such, like, these ethereal kind of plants. I was like, wow, that's really lovely. And I loved how they look like almost miniature conifers as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, really
what
cool
are the
plants.
Really big ones? Because I grew those ones.
I'm going to lay down, Ellen. Do you mind, by
okay,
the way?
So just so
I'm
I
just
can
hanging out
show
on your sofa
you, just
here.
So you can understand the situation.
Oh, I think
Michael
that makes
is now
me come across a lot
completely
nicer,
completely stretched out on my sofa. Right. Are you okay
this,
there?
They should take a picture of this. It looks like I'm on the
you look like
therapist
you're having, you look like
chair.
You're having counselling.
Yeah.
What are the... Are they African marigolds? The real,
yeah, the
real
big flowered ones. Yeah.
I had those on my allotment once, which looked stunning.
Yeah.
But they got really tall, really big. Flowered for ages and actually looked amazing, but I was really disappointed because they weren't really what I meant to get. But when we were at Howard Nurseries, there was a few plants that David mentioned that reminded you of your
you
nana.
You are correct, Ellen.
What were they? I can't remember what they were. This is so funny.
So you're just so cute at the moment.
I don't know why, but every now and again, Michael just laughs at me. Well, and then I say, why are you laughing? He says, because you're cute. And it's not
well,
something
I'm just staying on the sofa and you're talking over me as if you're about to tuck me into bed or something. It's really weird. Anyway, it was pyrephorum.
Yeah.
That they mentioned, which is like this really, really cool daisy-looking plant, which has got this real maroon red flower, and I remember my grandma cutting those for indoors as well and to show at the local flower shows. And I think if you soak it in water, you can make pyrephorum or something, which is like an insecticide or
something. Okay, that's
something
new to
like
me.
That.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Also, Achillea, but not like kind of Achillea type yarrow, but Achillea tarmica, the pearl.
Okay.
Is the variety, and it has this little kind of pom-pom white flower.
Okay.
Remember those? And my grandma was cutting those for indoors. Specifically, I remember her bearded iris bed, actually. And obviously, being at David Howard's, I'm evoked a lot of those memories. And how the rhizomes needed to be on the surface because they needed to bake in the sun. And the little kind of tricks that my nana then taught me while we were obviously spending time with those plants. And I always remember they... Bearded iris are beautiful, but they don't flower for long.
No, but when they are in flower, they are beautiful. So it's worth it, isn't it?
You just wish they'd flower for longer.
And you often say that iris is your favourite plant because of the memory.
I do, yeah. And they were nice. And I remember there was a lot of different colours. There was... In those days, in kind of like my nana's garden, I don't know if we knew what the names of things were. We just knew...
Yeah, I would.
Oh, that blue one.
Yeah.
That blue one.
But there was a lovely one there in the field today. Was it Toga?
I'm not sure.
Toga?
Raja?
Can't remember now. Anyway, but it was a dwarf variety. Uh-huh. And apparently they're not quite so in demand. Because people want the stunning tall iris.
Tall ones.
Which is a shame, because they'd look lovely in containers.
Well, yeah, the pygmy iris are really useful for rockeries, pots, etc. Yeah, definitely.
So what was your very earliest childhood memory of gardening? Like, the very beginning? Like, what was the first thing you can remember?
Maybe growing a runner bean in a jam jar by a paper towel. But also growing Tradescantia, you know, the houseplant type, maybe in water. And then we potted it up and then took them home. Like at the end of term, I remember for some reason I was going to plant it into the garden because I just started to have my own flower patch in the garden. And I remember like digging a hole for it and kind of like, and I was typically clumsy in those days as well. So I dug the hole and I stepped back to plant it and I stepped on the plant. And oh my God, it's this really painful memory because I just remember crying and being beside myself.
But you continued loving plants gardening.
Yeah, but I stood on my bloody plant. But obviously quite dumb because, the bloody easy plants go anyway. Even if you stand on them, it'll be fine. But when you're a kid, you're a bit more devastated than that.
A bit more emotional about the situation.
Like these days, I'd throw a plant around. Do you know what I mean?
No, you don't.
No, but what plants. Like if you're... Yeah. Trying to stuff a load of plants in a box or a bed. You know which ones can cope.
And which ones are too delicate.
Yeah. Yeah, so of course, yeah, you're being delicate, but sometimes you might need to carry one box on top of another. And yeah. It's just like that. I'm obviously a nurseryman at heart, in my blood. So what's your other memory? You said two plants. You didn't tell us
yet. Well, weirdly, cabbages. My uncle, I don't really know what he used to do with these, but he'd give me a jam jar and I'd have to go down to this vegetable patch and pick the caterpillars off the cabbages because he didn't spray them.
Where did
anything.
You put them when he picked
well,
them?
Well, I put them in the jam jar and then give them to him, but I don't know what he'd then done with them.
Probably fried them for breakfast.
Oh, God, that's awful. I don't know, but I think that's where the grow your own side. I mean, that's what I love doing mostly. And
what, eating cauliflowers for breakfast?
Cabbage is ace. It's just so good for you. I love growing it. Sauerkraut's fab. Yeah. There's just something. It's so good for you. Mm. That, I don't know, cabbage is kind of like the epitome, if you like, of grow your own. And I just get really satisfied when I see it and it just provokes those memories.
Wow,
but
cool.
I used to think fairies lived at the bottom of our garden.
Yeah.
My parents' garden, when I was teeny tiny, they've always been into gardening and we had a kitchen garden. And there was a blue shed at the end of the garden, loads of gooseberry bushes and loads of peas. I can always remember peas. And I love gooseberries as well. And I used to hide underneath the bushes and pinch the gooseberries and the peas and eat them.
Did they get pricked by the thorns?
Maybe, I don't think.
You spanner.
Just a child. Yeah. But I used to truly believe that fairies lived underneath our blue shed. And my dad would always say, you're not allowed in this shed. You never go in the shed. That is out of bounds. So I always used to think...
Because he had his porn in there.
No, I... Well, I am going to tell you what he did have in there. But I would... Oh my gosh. I used to think it was magical in there.
Yeah.
Of course, as a child. Anyway, turns out it wasn't allowed in there because he was brewing his own beer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, how funny. Or just dangerous tools. It could have been a good excuse.
I know, they used to give me all the tools to have a go with.
Hey, we used to stamp out earwigs on the ground. You'd have a cane, obviously a garden cane, and then on the top, an upturned small terracotta pot with straw inside, and the earwigs would then go up there, and then we would then empty out that straw into the ground, then you stamp out the earwigs.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I was taught that sort of cruelty at a young
age.
I can't handle that
situation. Like, that's horrible.
Because the earwigs would then damage the dahlias, but I don't know.
You must have had a lot of earwigs, because dahlias do get earwigs, but unless you've got quite a lot of them, they don't really do
major damage. I guess my grandma was savage.
Yeah, sounds it. That would make me cry if I had to do that.
It's a dark child, I guess.
Anyway.
Stamping out nature.
Today's podcast partner is VeggiePod, the integrated all-in-one garden bed suitable for anyone interested in growing your own. You'll be amazed at how quickly your vegetables grow in a VeggiePod. And as a special offer for our listeners, VeggiePod are offering PPP subscribers 10% off any sized VeggiePod when purchased with a stand or a trolley. Simply go to veggiepod.co.uk and enter PPP10 on checkout.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Plant Based Podcast.
Have a browse of the rest of the library or hop on over to the website, which is theplantbasedpodcast.net.
You'll also find our social media links. Please connect with us and let us know about any plant-based projects that you think we should be covering on the show.
And make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you'll be the first to hear the next episode. We're releasing once a fortnight. So until next time, enjoy the world of plants.